This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Lots to cover this week. Let's get right to it in terms of how the Holy Father's general audience went today.
Absolutely. So today the Holy Father continued his catechesis on Saint Joseph and focused specifically on what it means to be the father of Jesus, what that role would have looked like. He also talked about what he called the venerable practice of adoption, this idea of Saint Joseph as the foster father, the adopted father of Jesus. He talked about how important that role was of Saint Joseph in Jesus' life, and that as part of the role, the institution of fatherhood also includes the right to name your child just as Joseph named Jesus. And it was through that Jesus was legally recognized by the state. So he said that in choosing Jesus' name, Joseph already knew that God had prepared a name for his son because, of course, the name means the Lord saves. And the Pope went on to speak about what it means to become parents. And he talked about fatherhood and motherhood, saying that people become parents when they take up their responsibility for their children. He said that fathers aren't born, but fathers are actually made. And a person doesn't become a father simply by bringing a child into the world, but by taking up the responsibility to care for that child. So that whenever a man accepts the responsibility for the life of another, in some way, he becomes a father to that person. And Pope Francis said that adoption is a risk worth taking. He said that Saint Joseph shows adoption isn't based on a secondary type of bond with a child, but it exemplifies a high form of love. And he pointed out that so many children in the world today are waiting for someone to take care of them. And Pope Francis went on to say that how many husbands wish to be fathers and how many wives wish to be mothers but are unable to for biological reasons. But through adoption, they have the opportunity to share that affection with those who wouldn't necessarily otherwise have the chance to receive it. So he encouraged today families to choose the path of adoption. He said to take the risk of welcoming children. And then he went on, Glenn, to refer to the demographic winter that is facing different parts of the world. I just reported on this in Italy, that Italy, of course, has a negative birth rate, sadly. So he urged married couples to welcome children through natural birth or through adoption. And he said that, of course, should be done instead of buying dogs and cats in place of children, he said. So he reminded us that, yes, having a child is always a risk, but it's more risky not to have children. He said to negate fatherhood or motherhood, whether it be a real or spiritual fatherhood or motherhood. So today, finally, he finished asking for Saint Joseph's protection over his orphans, and that he may intercede especially for couples who wish to have a child. And then, Glenn, today he concluded with a special prayer to Saint Joseph that I might suggest that we all pray together now.
Yes, let's.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Joseph, you who loved Jesus with fatherly love, be close to the many children who have no family and who wish for a father and a mother. Support the couples who are unable to have children. Help them to discover through this suffering a greater plan. And make sure that no one lacks a home, a bond, or a person to take care of him or her. And heal the selfishness of those who close themselves off from life, that they may open their hearts to love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful, beautiful, Holy Father, with some great words on fatherhood, great words on adoption as well. And just to toss in my own adoptive story very quickly for those who might not have caught it at different points through the years, but as an adoptive kid from the early 60s, I love to hear those stories. And actually, many of the hosts through the years on Relevant Radio have been adoptive kids or parents on either side of that. And it's so makes me giggle a little bit that the adoptive parents always love to hear that it's been utterly normal for those that have been adoptive kids. But I learned it wasn't until we were expecting our first kid. I thought, well, you know, everything was sealed up pretty tight back in the early 60s. And I thought I'd ask and see if they knew of any hereditary stuff that might be passed along. And they didn't. But I kind of heard the story, kind of the run-up I'd never really understood to when my folks got me, 1962, little five-month-old Glenn, and why I ended up being kind of such a big deal as the only kid, said in all humility, because there had been so much loss in the previous few years for my mom and dad. They'd had a miscarriage earlier in their marriage in the 50s, and then in 1958, my mom lost her mother, who had been so close to her, and in 1960, lost her father and another grandparent, and then in 1960 as well, my mom and dad had a child who died after 3 days, and so by the time I came along in 62, it helped me, you know, to realize, well, no wonder, you know, it was such a fuss sometimes. And, you know, in terms of, say, working with pro-life groups through the years with Christian and Catholic radio here, often I do the emceeing stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I talk about the content, I'm often telling that story of what a gift adoption can be to a family that really seeks to have children, and what a gift that can really be. So that option isn't talked about so much as one of the choices when we choose to have life. And so here's hoping people consider that a little more, but thanking the Holy Father for those great words as well, and Joseph being that great example as the foster father of our Lord as well. Yes. Well, it is the new year around the world. We're a few days in here. We're trying to hang in there with some of those resolutions, and we hope to make it past at least 5 days. Tell us more about that great celebratory culture in Italy and how the new year was brought in.
Absolutely. Well, Glenn, you might imagine that one of the traditions here in Italy, of course, revolves around food. So we call New Year's Eve Capodanno, the end of the year, and what happens then at midnight that night is that Italians enjoy lenticchie, what we call in English lentils. And the reason is because lentils, in their interesting shape, right? They're kind of flat and round. They're thought to symbolize money. And so the idea is the more you eat, the more abundantly you will receive cash over the year. That's the funny little superstition. Well,
that fits perfectly. Yeah. We talked about budgeting just with the previous guest.
Exactly.
So that's great.
Exactly.
He hadn't brought that up as a way to gain more revenue. No. I don't know why, but yeah.
Yeah. All you have to do is eat lentils. I think there's going to be a huge run on lentils in the U.S. now. So sure enough, indeed, lentils with pork sausage and all these things are meant to bring lots of good cheer and fortune in the new year. Now, Italians also enjoy fireworks on the beginning of the new year. And it's really interesting because unlike in the United States, here in many places, they do not have strict rules. So people go up to their terraces and let off fireworks. So it's a fascinating thing to see. If you've got a high perch on New Year's Eve, you can see fireworks going off. It feels like in every corner of the sky, and it really is a fun experience. But another interesting tradition that Italians do, Glenn, is that they actually take old pieces of furniture or old junk, we might say, and toss them out the window. Now, you can imagine that this can be a little bit hazardous for people down below. So in some places,
as if the fireworks weren't enough, watch out for that old sofa coming at you. My goodness.
Exactly. Right. So I guess you kind of want to be indoors on New Year's Eve. That's the moral of the story for here. But sure enough, in some places, it is still practiced. And then on New Year's Day, something that people in Rome get all excited about is that each year on the 1st of January, since 1945, they do a daredevil diver plunge into Rome's Tiber River. And it was this tradition that was started by a man who was born on the 1st of January. So back in 1945, he decided to do this. He simply put on a top hat and in his bathing suit, jumped right into the freezing cold Tiber River. Now, when he emerged from the water, he put up the OK symbol with his hand, did that hand gesture, and that led everybody to know that he was fine and it went well. So since that time, he just took the nickname Mr. OK. And so he is no more, sadly, but that same position has been adopted by another man, Maurizio Palmulli, who for the last 34 years has been doing the exact same thing. He's nicknamed Mr. Okay, and sure enough, on the 1st of January each year, he dives into the freezing cold Tiber River and reminds everybody that it's gonna be okay. So some of the interesting things that have been happening in the new year here, Glenn.
You get all the fun over there. Our Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona with us this morning with the latest from the Holy Father's weekly general audience and the latest from flying furniture, fireworks, and men into rivers as well this morning.
That's right.
As morning air continues. Well, celebrations too on the spiritual side as well. Talk about how Epiphany is celebrated in Rome.
Yes. Well, you know, Glenn, it's so beautiful because Epiphany, the Feast of the Epiphany, is actually a national holiday celebrated across all of Italy, which means that public offices, schools, etc. are closed. And there are various ways that this special day is commemorated. So, for example, a large parade down the Via della Conciliazione, that long street that leads to St. Peter's Basilica. And the participants in the parade will be dressed in medieval gowns. There will be bands, there will be flags, people on horseback. But of course, at the very end, the parade is brought up by the three kings themselves, each carrying one of their gifts. The 6th is also a special day where people will host caroling parties. You know, here in Rome and in Italy, we celebrate the entire Christmas season, which goes all the way until the 2nd of February. So it's wonderful. You keep up your Christmas decorations, everything. And so this is a very special day. Now, there's also another interesting legend, we could say, that's attached to this day. And it comes from a popular folk tale that says that as the three wise men were on their way to find the baby Jesus, they stopped for a break and some hospitality at the home of a woman, and they invited her to join them on their adventure. Well, she said, oh, no, I'm too busy. I have to clean my house. See, here's my broom, and I'm just sweeping away. And so the three wise men carried on. Well, later she regretted it. She wished that she had gone along. So she jumped on that broom and flew around looking for them. So the story is that between the nights of the 5th and the 6th, La Befana, as she's called, visits little children throughout Italy and goes and places special little gifts in their stockings that are hanging over windows or a fireplace or whatever it may be. The kids will leave out panettone or pandoro cakes as a little refreshment for La Befana. And if the kids are good, they'll get a nice little sweet. If they're not so good, they'll get a lump of coal. You know how that goes. I think these days they give little black rock candy. But nevertheless, this will be celebrated throughout the country today. And then schools and many businesses will not, tomorrow is the feast. And then things will not open again until Monday as the Christmas celebration continues, Glenn.
Well, I'd love to hear how Christmas is still as it ought to be celebrated. And quickly before we go to the world's largest Christmas tree.
Is right here in Italy. Can you believe it? So that means that this is a tree that's about a half a mile in height. It is a tree of lights. It's actually an illuminated tree that is draped across of a mountain in Umbria. So it's got a giant star on top that's about another half mile high. And this is the 40th year that the town of Gubbio has been lighting up their giant Christmas tree on the slopes of a mountain right above their city. So there's about 5.5 miles worth of cables that power all those lights. This is even in the Guinness Book of World Records since 1991. So a very special way to celebrate with over 700 lights. Each of the lights has been adopted by someone to remember, oh, maybe a newborn baby or in memory of a departed loved one. It's lit each night at dusk, remembering, of course, Jesus, the true light of the world. And of course, the idea of evergreen, that he is everlasting light.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Nerona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.